I know where you can. Amen. The songwriter said, I know a man who can. Amen. Somebody that can give you that assurance and that peace that only comes from a real relationship with Jesus Christ our Lord. That's the only way you're going to get it tonight. And, you know, there's a lot of folks out there hunting and searching. Some of them sticking a needle in their arms, and some of them are out running around with the men or the women trying to find some satisfaction. And there's some of them out there looking in a bottle and a drink and all that, trying to find satisfaction. But you won't find it until you find Him. Amen. And He will give you an eternal satisfaction. Amen. He told that little lady by the well, He said, you know, that you come here to draw water. He said, but if I give you a drink of what I got, you'll never thirst again. Amen. I like that. She said, sir, forever give me this water. Well, guess what? It is a forever thing. Praise the Lord for that. All right. Take your Bibles tonight. Look with us in the book of Acts, chapter number 9. Now, over the weekend, we did get into Acts chapter number 9, the first 9 verses. We talked about the fellow by the name of Saul at this part of the story in the book of Acts. We looked at him. We'd seen him a little bit before, and we kind of got an indication that there were some things going on in his life. And then in chapter number 9, you see that there was. And I mean, most of us know that story, right? We know that Saul of Tarsus was the hater and the wanted to be the destroyer of the church as it was becoming new formed and new found. And thank God, boy, we saw he became part of it. Isn't that amazing? I mean, the hunter now becomes the hunted. He's gone from hunting them down to being part of them, and now the rest of the world, the rest of the Jewish people are against him. And now he's gone from being one that, as he said, the things that I used to hate, he said, I now love. And the things that I used to love, I now hate. He is in that predicament now himself, but it's a good place to be when you know the Lord. So we saw that in verses 1 through 9 as we kind of took Paul's life, or Saul of Tarsus at this time. We took his life and we looked at him as in one of those snapshots of a sinful man. And we saw he was on the road. Amen. He was on the road. You know the story. He was on the road to Damascus so that he might put Christian. You know what? He never got to the, he did get to the destination, but he didn't get there the way that he thought he would. He arrived in a different way. Now let's look beyond that, if you will. That's first 9 verses. Chapter 9, verses 1 through 9, tell the story of the conversion of Saul of Tarsus. And then we'll begin in verse number 10. Now, you remember the story. Paul is there on the road, and God struck him down, or the Lord struck him down, talked to him and told him, you know, that he had something for him. And he said, well, what do you have me to do? He said, you get up and go in the city. It'll be told you there what you must do. And they, those men that are with him, bring him to the city of Damascus. And in verse number 9, we're told he was there for 3 days without sight, and neither did eat nor drink. Oh, Saul, whether he meant to or not, God put him on a fast, didn't he? He let him fast a little bit. And I believe during this time, I believe there's a lot of praying going on. I believe Saul is trying to sort things out in his mind. And he just, you know, and God told him, he said, you get up and go to the city, I'll tell you what I want you to do. And God's let him sit there and stew for about 3 days. Oh, ain't that good? Can I tell you, God does that with all of us sometimes. We get into a position and we may have to sit and wait upon the Lord. All right? Toughest thing you and I'll ever do. He's doing it for 3 days. That don't sound like very long. You try it yourself, see how long it gets. Amen. It's a rough period of time. Look in verse number 10, if you will, with me though. Let's begin there. We'll get verses 10 through 18 tonight. And it says, and there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. And to him said the Lord in a vision, Ananias. And he answered, or he said, behold, I am here, Lord. And the Lord said unto him, arise and go into the street which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he prayeth, and hath seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in, and putting his hands on him that he might receive his sight. Then Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard by many of this man how much evil he hath done to thy saints at Jerusalem. And here he hath authority from the chief priest to bind all that call on thy name. But the Lord said unto him, go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. And Ananias went his way and entered into the house, and putting his hands on him, said, Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus that appeared to thee in the way as thou camest, hath sent me that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. And immediately there fell from his eyes as it had been scales, and he received sight forthwith and arose and was baptized. Let's have a word of prayer, if you would. Father, thank you, Lord, again for the evening. Thank you for your blessings. Thank you for the good songs that we've enjoyed and the fellowship and the worship in them. And I pray now you just bless us as we fellowship around your word. Just give us some insight and some understanding, some wisdom, some of the good grace of God, the good things that we need to know now. And Lord, we'll just be careful to thank you and praise you for everything that you're doing for all of us. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Amen. I want to preach to you tonight. Let's just talk about, for these few verses, let's talk about Ananias. Let's talk about Ananias. Ananias. And you see, of course, his name mentioned there in verse 10, and it goes through verse 18. And Ananias is one of those little, if you will, we can use that term, little Bible characters that we don't know very much about. We do know his name, and we only see him this one time in the Scripture. And, you know, you begin to think about this, and I just think it's just interesting to me that you see here's a man named Ananias that is a disciple of the Lord. And there's a man that has allowed Saul of Tarsus to come into his house and stay. And the Lord tells me, he said, I want you to go to the way that's called straight. He said, inquire in the house, in verse number 11, inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul. Isn't that amazing? Here's two guys with those names, Judas and Ananias. We've seen those names before, haven't we? And those names are associated with some pretty bad folks. Judas, the disciple of Jesus that betrayed him. Ananias, the man that lied to the Holy Spirit in front of the church. I mean, both of those have some negative thoughts attached to the name. But here we see those same names. It's not the same people. It's different people, obviously. But they've got the same name. But this time, they're guys that can be counted on to do a work for God. Now, again, we don't know that much about them. I mean, we know far more about the other Judas and the other Ananias than we know about these two. But I can tell you this, they just wanted to be servants of the Lord. That's all they want to be. And that's what I'm going to preach to you about tonight. As I say, taking Ananias. And we're going to call him, as I say, the servant of the Lord. And to preach on it, can you hear me and will you hear me? Can you hear me and will you hear me? I want to know tonight, as servants of God, can you hear the Lord? And also, will you hear the Lord? I mean, those are two important things, two important lessons that I think we get out of these few verses here that we see about this man named Ananias. I mean, you see that he is a man that is a servant, is a workman, is a somebody that cares about the work and the goings of the Lord and his church. I mean, that's who he is, right? That's who he is. I want you to notice this first of all. His name in the Bible that we're told, Ananias, in the Old Testament, he would be called Hananiah. Hananiah would be his Old Testament, his Hebrew name, if you would. His Hebrew name is that, and that term, Hananiah, or that name Hananiah, you know, everybody's name meant something in the Bible. Well, his name meant Jehovah is gracious. God has grace. It also means the idea of grace or favor upon him that comes from God. And I'll guarantee you, this boy is about to live up to that name. He understands about the goodness and the grace of God that's going to be upon him and upon his life. I mean, you think about it. Sometimes God does some things through certain people, and they get to do certain little works for God, and as they do that, they don't even realize it is that's going to happen beyond that. Can you imagine? Here's a man that listens to God and obeys God, and look at the blessing that have turned out from that. I mean, he had no idea. He knew a little bit about who Saul was, and he knew about what he'd done. He knew all that. You can tell that by the reading of it. But he didn't know what a difference is going to make with him going and what he is told to do, goes and prays with Saul. I mean, he doesn't have an idea. He may not have ever got to see the completion of it. We don't know how old he was, and we don't know any of that. And we don't know how much of Paul's life he followed or knew about beyond that. But just imagine that. And you know, that's the way it is sometimes. Mamas and daddies don't know what they're putting in them little ones. I'm telling you, friends, you don't know what you're putting into a church member when you're talking with them and encouraging them. You don't know what you're doing with a sinner when you're telling them about Jesus and maybe leading them to Christ. You don't know anything about what you're doing, what God's going to do in that one particular little life. But I can tell you this, go ahead and do it anyway. Amen? Go ahead and do it anyway. So let's look at Ananias, if we can, just for a few minutes and talk about what we see here. First of all, I want you to notice this, that Ananias hears a call from God. Ananias hears a call from God. I want you to notice there in verse number 10, the Bible says, "And there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias, and to him said the Lord in a vision, Ananias, and he said, Behold, I am here, Lord." I want you to just look at that with me, if you will, and let's talk about he hears a call from the Lord. Hey, can I tell you, the Lord is still calling to his dear saints. God is still calling. As I say, you see Ananias, let's just say he's a type of the servant. And the servant doesn't have to be named. Doesn't have to be notarized and glorified and lifted up and, you know, put in lights or anything like that. Hey, the servant has one thought on his heart, and it is to simply serve. That's all a servant. Brother, let me tell you something. When you think about it, somebody asked that question one time, said, what do servants do? They serve. Amen. That's what you and I are supposed to do and be for the Lord. We're like the servants that the Lord Jesus himself talked about. We ought to be looked upon and hear the words that said, woe is us, because we're just unprofitable servants. All we've done is that we've been told, that we've been bidden, that we've been given to do. There's a lot of folks want you to pat them on the back and, oh, just shake their hand and smile and reward them and bless them in some way because they've simply done what they're supposed to do. Can I tell you, that ain't the way it works with the Lord. The Lord, if the Lord's given us something to do, and you do it, I'm telling you, there's going to be a blessing. There's going to be a reward one day. But don't you expect everybody down here to pat you on the back and say, oh, boy, you're doing great. You've done a great job. You're doing. Listen, that's not what the. All it is, brother, God wants us to serve. God wants us to be servants. And that's what the Bible tells us that Ananias is. He is a servant of the Lord. So first of all, I want you to notice this about him. Let's look, number one, that he has this call from the Lord. First of all, you realize that his life was one as a disciple and a servant to the Lord. Do you see that? I mean, Luke tells us, he says, and there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. I mean, he was a man and he was a disciple of the Lord. If you go on over into chapter number 22 of the book of Acts, you'll see that Paul talks about him and gives you a little bit more information about him. Well, matter of fact, let's just flip over there, if you will. In Acts chapter number 22, Paul is given his testimony. And as he's given this testimony, he says, verse number 12, chapter 22, verse 12, he said, and one Ananias, listen to him describe him, a devout man according to the law, having a good report of all the Jews which dwelt there, came unto me and stood and said unto me, Brother Saul, receive thy sight, and the same hour I looked upon him. I mean, he tells us a little bit more here about it. He said, again, it's the story of a man named Ananias. But notice what he says about him. He said he was a devout man. Here's a man that was a disciple of the Lord, and he was devoted to his Lord. He's a devout man. He said, according to the law, I mean, he had a good report of all the Jews. Whether they were the saved Jews or the unsaved Jews, they all had a good word and a good thing to say about Ananias. In other words, Ananias was a good Christian man. Ananias held up the standards of God. He wanted to live for God. He was a disciple of the Lord. I mean, that's what he is. His life spoke for itself. His life was out there as an open book. People were looking. People were watching. And they said, you know, that Ananias guy, he is an honest fella. He is a moral fella. He is a godly fella. He is a Christian man. He is a follower of Christ. I mean, every one of them, nobody had any bad thing to say about him. Amen? Can they say the same for you? I'm telling you, as a servant, we ought to desire to have that kind of a testimony about being a Christian, out bearing the name of Christ. They ought to be able to have some good things to say about you. So, first of all, you see his life as a disciple and a follower of the Lord. But second of all, I want you to notice this, that he listened. He listened to the voice of the Lord. He listened to the voice of the Lord. The Bible said that there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias, and to him said the Lord in a vision, Ananias. God called his name. As I've said, he got a call from the Lord. I mean, he heard the Lord call his name. You know, you're told throughout your Bible several other people. You remember Samuel, little Samuel? He's in his bed, and he hears a voice calling him saying, Samuel, Samuel. And he goes in and thinks it's Eli talking to him. But you know who it is? Eli figures out after a few times that it's the Lord that's talking. Brother, can I tell you, the best thing you can do is be available for the Lord to call on you. Amen? I mean, be available for God to mention your name. Hey, isn't it an honor? Isn't it a privilege? Isn't it a great thing when God calls out your name? I mean, here it is. Here's Ananias, and God says, Ananias, and you know what? He didn't have to go get something ready. He didn't have to sharpen up on anything. Brother, he was ready to hear the call from God. And I'm telling you, you and I ought to be the same in our life as a servant. Be ready when the Lord calls. You see what he said? Ananias, and he said, behold, I am here, Lord. Amen? You'll notice that not only did he listen to the voice of God, he was led by the voice of God. I mean, you see that he responds. He says, behold, I am here, Lord, and the Lord will talk to you, and he'll give you something to do. But the only way that thing's going to work is when you want to listen to him. Amen? You've got to get your ears open. Man, we need our spiritual ears open in days like these. I remember a long time ago, just to tell you this, and I'm not bragging on my daddy, but I guess if you think I am, maybe I am, but I'll just brag on the Lord. I know one Sunday, I wasn't with him. I was married and out on my own doing whatever, probably pastoring church at the time. And Mama said him and her and Daddy was going out to a certain church out on Sand Mountain. And they're traveling along there and come up through a community at Higdon. And, I mean, every time we went to wherever my grandparents lived, headed out that way, and that's where they were headed, they had to pass through there. Well, Daddy didn't know any of those people, didn't know anything about nothing about any of that. They were driving out through there, and all of a sudden, he just makes a left turn, pulls over in the parking lot of a church. Mother looks at him. She said, what are you doing? He said, we're going to church. And she said, here? We're supposed to be going on out, you know, on out further. Head on out. You're supposed to preach this morning. So, and he said, well, I'm going to preach here. And she looked at him like, well, I sure do hope you know what you're doing. I didn't get the message. So they get out of the car, go in the church, and Daddy starts introducing himself. And some guy comes up to me and said, are you a preacher? Daddy said, yes, I am. He said, well, good. He said, our pastor got called away this morning at the last minute. Somebody got sick and he had to go see about them. And we don't have anybody else in the church that's going to be able to preach this morning. And we've been praying and asking God to send somebody. He said, I'm your man. I mean, he didn't know a soul in that church. Didn't know anybody. Just pulled off the road, went in. Now, You tell me. I think that's God. And I think, buddy, when God speaks, hey, you and I need to be ready to listen. We need to hear. I'm telling you, sometimes God speaks and tells me things in my heart. Not, it's not an audible voice. It's not an outward voice. But a lot of, God gives you those things on the inside, and he tells you that you need to be obedient. And sometimes it's awkward. Sometimes it's strange. Sometimes it's so unusual. You're like, I can't do that. But thank God, let me tell you, you can. And you have to be like Ananias. Ananias is just sitting here minding his own business. And all of a sudden God comes to him and says, Ananias, he said, behold, I'm here, Lord. I'm sitting on going ready. Brother, we all need to be like that as servants of the Lord. We need to be led by the Spirit and the power of God. And that's exactly what Ananias is doing. I mean, that's what he's up to in there. He has heard the voice of God. I'm so glad there's men throughout the scriptures that heard the voice of God. Abraham heard the voice of God. God said, I want you to go, Abraham. Well, where are we going? He never asked that question. Where are we going? He just went and followed where God's leading was. I mean, here goes Moses. Moses comes and Moses even had complaints. Well, Lord, what am I going to tell him? Who am I going to tell him to send me? Who, and God said, don't worry about any of that. Just realize I have called you and I am sending you. Brother, that's all we got to realize. Let God take care of all the other things. You just answer and show up when God says, come on, let's go. So first of all, you see that Ananias, in his life, received a call from the Lord. But second of all, I want you to notice this. Ananias not only gets a call from the Lord, he gets a command from the Lord. I mean, look at verse number 11. And the Lord said unto him, arise. Now, previous to that, all he's done is just call his name. Ananias, here. I'm here. I'm ready, Lord. And the Lord said unto him, arise and go into the street, which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he prayeth, and hath seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hands on him that he might receive his sight. Boy, God gave him a command and said, here's what I want you to do. Here's what I want you to do. Spurgeon says this, when you look at this leading, commanding, and giving of directions from God, and here is Ananias listening to it, you know what he said he's doing? He said, first of all, God told him where he wanted him to go. He said, here's what I want you. I want you to go to the place, to a road, the street that's called Straight. The scholars in that day said there were two roads that were called straight. Most of the roads in that day were about like they are around here. They got so many curves and loops in them, you're going to meet yourself coming back. Amen? You've done that sometimes, hadn't you? Well, they had two roads in this place that were straight. And one of them was going from east to west. The other went north to south. And God told him, he said, don't you go in the way that's called straight. There was one of them that was called the straight way. Or they had a Latin name for it, the via something or other. But whatever it was, it meant the straight way. The straight way. And brother, that's where he went. God told him where he wanted him to go. And then not only that, God told him when to go. He said, arise and go. I want you to do it now. I don't want you to wait. I want you to put it off. I want you to go now. And as a matter of fact, God tells him why he wants him to go. He says, inquire in the house of one Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus. For behold, he prayeth. He said, I want you to go to this man because he's in prayer and he needs somebody to help him. Amen? Isn't that amazing? And God told him, why he wants him to go. And then God told him what to do when he got there. Put your hands on him. He's seen a man in a vision, a man named Ananias coming in, putting his hands on him that he might receive his sight. He said, here's what I want you to do. Here's how I want you to do. Here's everything that I want you to do. And it's all in one little place. Amen. And you know what he said? I'm ready. I'm your man. Amen? I'm your man. Listen, the Lord has given Ananias a mission. Can I tell you, God will give you a mission too if you'll simply listen to him. God said, and as I told you, here's Ananias, and it just seems like one little thing, but man, look what happens beyond the one little thing that Ananias hears from God to do. God may want you to go speak to somebody and tell them Jesus loves them, or that you know, God's for them, or that you know, that they need to just pray, or whatever it may be. And as God does, you don't know what that impact will do for somebody. You have no idea what that means to somebody. I mean, listen, hey, there's folks throughout history that have gotten saved because somebody said something to them. D.L. Moody tells the story of how he got saved. He went to a prayer meeting on a Wednesday night, and the pastor was not at the church, and a deacon got up and said, "I guess I better go ahead and give some sort of lesson so that y'all hear." And he read out of the Word of God. He said a few words, and Moody got saved that night. And brother, imagine what erupted out of that. One of the greatest preachers in our history was made because of some deacon getting up and preaching some little old simple message out of the Word of God. But yet he was obedient to what God told him to do. So what I'm telling you is, man, you and I need to listen. We need to be obedient. We need to follow Him. God's got a mission for every one of us. And you see, God had a mission for Ananias. And the Lord even had an answer for the misgivings of Ananias. You know, now Ananias did come back, and he says to him, look, he said, then Ananias answered in verse number 13, "Lord, I've heard by many of this man how much evil he hath done to thy saints at Jerusalem. And here he hath authority from the chief priest to bind all that call on thy name." And God said, well, wait a minute, I got an answer for that. He said, every bit of that is true. And there's nothing that Ananias has said that's false. It's all true. I mean, he's, you know, Paul's been a rough dude, or Saul's been a bad, he's done evil. Yep, that's true. To the saints, that's all true. And now he's got authority, that's true, from the chief priest, to bind all that call on thy name. Every bit of that's true. But listen to what God says. The Lord said, go thy way, for he's a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and the kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. The Lord said, don't worry about that. I'll handle that side. And I guarantee you, a lot of times when God does speak to us and tells us, and we do, we run through the questions in our mind, don't we? We go through the, well, I don't know about this. I'm not sure about this. Well, okay, that's all right. Don't let your doubt stop you. Sometimes we are going to have doubts. We are going to have some misgivings about doing what. We will have some questions. We will have some. But I want to tell you something. God still got all the answers. The Lord had all the answers for Ananias right here. And then the Lord told him, he said, look, I've got a message I want you to deliver to this little fella. Look what he says. Verse number 16. I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. I mean, God had a word. God had a message. He said, Saul, you've been a terror. You've been tearing up people's lives. You've been destroying homes. You've been taking lives. You're a murderer. You're just awful. But I'm going to show you, you've caused some suffering, and now I'm going to show you how you're going to suffer, and you're going to do it for my name's sake. Amen? For my name's sake. And can you imagine? Here's old Saul, as I say, he's been a pretty rough dude, pretty bad dude all his life, and now he's going to go to the other side. Things are going to change for a bit, and he is going to be the man receiving all that. And you can go through and study and see how that Paul gives a list, I think it's over in 2 Corinthians, of all the things that happened to him. He talks about how that he was beaten. He talks about how he was left in the desert. He talks about he was shipwrecked. He talks about how that he was left for dead. How that they had him out in the desert in the heat and in the places where it was real cold. Throwed him in the prisons. Did all these things to him. But you know what? He said, and I just took it all because, hey, I caused a lot more damage. I caused a lot more suffering before I got saved. And gladly now, I'll bear every bit of that. It's just a drop in the bucket that I can do for the Lord that saved me. Amen. Amen. I mean, he is realizing that, man, it's something. And as a matter of fact, you read Paul's writings, and we talk about there in Philippians, where he talks about who he is and where he came from, and he talks about how that he wanted to know Christ and to win Christ. He said, and to be conformable unto his death. He said, I want to suffer the way that the Lord wants me to suffer. And that's the craziest thing me and you've ever heard of, isn't it? Nobody likes that. But Paul realized the Lord had told him, and he tells Ananias, I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. Wow. Really? That's the call of God is, Saul, you're going to suffer, buddy. I mean, that don't sound good, does it? That's not what any of us want to hear from the Lord. But that's exactly what Paul got from God. And you know what he said? Gladly, therefore, amen, I will rejoice in my sufferings. I mean, he said the sufferings of this, they're not worthy to be compared with the glory that's going to wait for me on the other side. Amen? The light affliction is what he calls it in this life. There were some pretty terrible things done to him, but he said it was just like it was light affliction, and it really didn't mean anything to him. Amen. So you see that Ananias has a call from God, and Ananias has a command. I mean, God says, I want you to go thy way. I mean, I want to tell you something. That's not sort of a, hey, would you mind? It's a command. Go. That is a command. That's an imperative statement from God. Go thy way. Amen? So I want you to notice those two things. And then thirdly, notice this. Ananias heads out to complete the task that he's given. Ananias heads out. As I say, we've got the idea today we can kind of, well, we can take it or leave it. God, you know, whatever. Maybe. If I feel like it, if I got time, you better listen when God's calling. When God is calling, you and I need to pay attention to what he has for us. And I want you to notice some things that you see here in the life of Ananias. First of all, I want you to see that his loyalty is expressed. Verse number 17, and Ananias went his way and entered into the house. I mean, listen, he was loyal to the call and the command that God had put into his life. Just like we ought to be. When God calls, when God commands, when God instructs, when God says, brother, you and I need to just do that. I mean, we need to just do it. Whatever God is saying, whatever God's doing, brother, you and I we ought to be loyal. Hey, I'm telling you, the greatest loyalty that you can express is your loyalty to the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Lord, I want to be loyal to you. You've been loyal. You've helped me. You've met my needs. You've saved me. You've kept me. You've blessed me. You've done everything that there is that I need done, and I want to be loyal to you. I want to express my loyalty. And I'm telling you, God had been good to Ananias. God had blessed him as a disciple. God had kept him. God had met his needs. I mean, as far as we can tell, he was a devoted follower of Jesus. He was a man that was respected and well-known. So you know what? Hey, take that a step further and be loyal to the Lord in your calling. You'll say, well, preacher, God don't ask me to do much. It's just a little thing. It doesn't matter. Whatever it is, be loyal to him in that. If it's to sing a song, sing. If it's to teach a class, teach. If it's to preach, preach. If it's to be a servant in the church, some other, serve. Do whatever God's called you to do. Amen? And that's what Ananias says, I want to show my loyalty to God. God said, go thy way. In verse 17, and Ananias went his way. I mean, he got up and got with it and did what God had begged or asked and commanded and told. He's there doing those things. Amen? Not, you know, not like Jonas. Oh, Jonah in the Old Testament. Jonah, you know what he did? He paid his fare and he went down to the boat and he called him a ship out to a faraway place trying to get away from the voice and the command of God. Don't be like that. Show your loyalty to God. Don't be like Peter was when Peter followed the Lord from afar off and Peter was there around the fire warming his hands waiting on the verdict about Jesus' life. But every time they'd say, aren't you with him? Aren't you one of his disciples? No. He said, I don't know him. I don't know him. And then he began to curse and deny that he knew the Lord. Don't be like that. Be loyal. Amen. Make your mind up. You're going to be loyal to the Lord because he's been loyal to you. Hey, didn't he get you up out of bed this morning? Didn't he help you today? Didn't he bless you with strength? Didn't he give you a place to live, a car to drive, a good meal on your table? Thank God he's done much for you. Be loyal to him. Amen? He said, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. So the least thing you and I can do, be loyal to him. Here, Ananias' loyalty is expressed. But second of all, I want you to notice the love. You can just see the compassion that's in this man by the love that he expresses. So, verse 17, Ananias went his way, entered into the house, and putting his hands on him, said, Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus, that appeared unto thee of the way as thou camest, has sent me. Boy, isn't he showing the love of God? And really, the love of God that he's shown is when he goes in and he puts his hands on. And the Lord told him. Now, if you go back and look at that, God told Paul or Saul, here's what's going to happen. You go and here's this guy's going to come. And his name's going to be Ananias. And he's going to lay his hands on you and he's going to pray. Now, God just, he didn't tell Ananias that. He told Paul that. He just said, here's what I want you to do. But aren't you glad when God starts working on one side, he works on the other? Amen. I mean, he'd been working on Ananias. He'd been working on Saul. He's working on both. And it's going to come together and work out, you know, for the good of God. But he goes in and he shows him some Christian love. Isn't it amazing? For years, I don't think I had ever seen that. And then one day it just popped in on me that here is Ananias. And what does he say? What's the first thing that he says? Brother Saul. He calls him his brother. Now, he just got through telling the Lord, hey, this guy's an enemy. This guy, everybody hates him. This guy's a conniver. This guy's been killing people. This guy's a bad dude. But now he goes in and he puts his hands on him and he lovingly says, Brother Saul. He said, the Lord, even Jesus, whom thou saw in the way. He is just loving on him. I mean, he's ready to just be a blessing to him and to love on him. Well, what about all that other stuff? Well, God's told him to forget it, so he's forgot it, and he's just going to go on here and be a blessing to him and love on him. Amen? Oh, I can tell you, friend, there's been folks come into church here and other places, and you know, other folks say, oh, well, they stink. They smell funny. Oh, I know them. They're a drunk. They're this or that. Brother, if they in here and they need to get saved, hey, they want to come to an altar, the least thing being you can do is come down here and get up and try to show them the love of Christ. And then when they get saved, call them your brother. Amen. Call them your sister in the Lord. Because, man, if they get saved, it don't matter. We all had a past. We all used to be. We all have done some things. But thank God when God saves you, he clears up your past. You're forgiven. And those things are forgotten in the mind of God. And in the you know, but we won't drag them up. Well, I remember back when he used to. Well, yeah, what about you? What'd you used to do? Amen. Yours might not have been out there in the front like theirs, but I can tell you, hey, you got a past too. Amen. And oh, Ananias goes in and said, God said, call you brother, so you're my brother. Amen. Brother Saul. Boy, aren't you glad there's some love out there? I mean, he was ready to give him some love. And as I said, God been working on both ends, and that all met together there in the middle. Isn't that a great blessing? God had told him. He said, you go into the city, and it'll be told you there what you must do. He said, but I'm going to send somebody named Ananias, and he's going to lay hands on, and you're going to be able to see. Amen? Boy, I tell you, probably for 3 days, Paul sitting there praying said, where's Ananias? Send him. I'm ready. I mean, the Bible says here that he had like great scales over his eyes. That word scales in the Greek is the word that means scale, like a fish's scale. There was something that was clouding. There was something that was blocking the vision. I don't know why God was doing it, and I'm sure there's a reason for it. I know God just let Saul, as I say, kind of sit there and simmer and stew over some things for 3 days. But I'm telling you, God had a reason for it. But when Ananias showed up, brother, the love of God was there. So there was the love, there was some loyalty expressed. There was some love. There was, but I want you to notice this. There was a new life then that was expressed. You see that? It said, that Ananias said to him, Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus, that appeared unto thee in the way as thou camest, has sent me that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. And immediately there fell from his eyes as it had been scales. And he received sight forthwith and arose and was baptized. There was new life. Let me tell you something. Now, in this day, in Paul and Ananias' day, it was a big thing to be baptized openly and publicly because you were accepting Christ. You were being identified with Christ, and boy, that was a big deal. All those other Jews were watching, and they said, oh no, look at this guy. As a matter of fact, we'll read on and we'll see in the story how that everybody knew that Saul had turned. He goes down to the temple, to the synagogues. He goes everywhere, and he's preaching Jesus. And buddy, everybody know. And then all of those Jews that once was his buddies, everybody that once his friend, now they're all going to turn up. And old Saul said, I don't mind identifying with Jesus. Amen. I mean, he said, I've got a new life. Amen. I've found new life. And my new life is identified in Christ Jesus. How is that? He said, I'm here. I'm standing, he said, but I'm going to die. And he goes into the watery grave. I'm going to die, and then I'm going to be resurrected in the newness of a new life in Christ. Amen? He said, and I don't care who knows it. Amen? I mean, that's what he did. Ananias took him. He said, he received his sight for it, and he arose. I mean, when they got through, he said, let's go get baptized. He said, I got my sight back. I can see. I'm ready. And boy, he took him down there and he baptized him. Amen. I mean, he got him and took him down to the water. You remember? We read just a little bit ago about the Ethiopian eunuch in chapter number 8. And he said, see, here's water. What doth hinder me being baptized? And Philip said, nothing. If you believe. He said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He said, let's get in the water then. Amen. And they did. He baptized. As I said, he's identifying. He's identifying. And Paul said, I want to identify with him. He saved me. He's loved me. He's delivered me. He's made me new. And I want to identify with him. Amen? I want to identify with him. Praise God. Aren't you glad of that? Man, old Saul said, I want to be identified. I want to be part of it. So what is the bottom line? Well, the bottom line is obedience. Obedience is the greatest thing that we as believers can ever do or have ever done is obey the Lord. Do you know what the Bible says in the book of Samuel? What Samuel said? Samuel said to obey is better than sacrifice. He said that to a bunch of Jewish people who thought that sacrificing an animal and having their sins taken care of and all that they go through, the ritual and the rites, they thought that was the greatest thing there was. But old Samuel said, I want you to know something. He's telling King Saul at this time, the king that had disobeyed the command. He said, obedience is better than sacrifice. Amen? And he told him that his disobedience was as the sin of witchcraft. He said, well, you're just as sorry a sinner as these old people out here that's doing their sorceries and their black magic and all that stuff. He said, you're just as wicked as them when you disobey what God says to do. Amen? Can I tell you, that's probably one of our great faults in this era that we're in, is that people don't want to obey God. I mean, you think about the people that obeyed God. Noah obeyed God. God said, go build an ark. And Noah went and built an ark to the Savior. There's only 8 people saved. Noah and Mrs. Noah, his 3 sons and their wife. Only 8 people made it through the flood. How'd they make it? By obeying God. Moses, God called him and said, I want you to go deliver my children. And Moses obeyed God. Amen. I'm telling you, Joshua went down and obeyed God as they went into the promised land. God said, here's what I want you to do. Here's how I want you to do it. Here's the way that it's to be done. And he said, don't fall left or right front. Just go right down the middle. And God gave them the victory and they got the promised land. Amen? I mean, God told Gideon in the book of Judges. If you'll obey me, I'll give you victory over the enemy. And God delivered Gideon. Amen? Hey, can I tell you? God told David, he said, you just listen to me, little boy, and I'm going to get you through this with this giant Goliath. And God gave him the victory over the giant Goliath. Amen? I mean, throughout the course of the Bible, you see that people are listening. And as a matter of fact, the pinnacle of all of that is that Jesus was obedient to his Father. If you go back and read and study the Scriptures, you'll see that Jesus and Hebrews, the book of Hebrews brings this out just very vividly, that Jesus' main goal was to do the Father's will. Amen? He said, I come I delight, he says, to do thy will, O God. I delight to do thy will. Look back, if you will, in John chapter number 17. John 17 is great chapter to study and learn in the Bible, because it is really the Lord's Prayer. You want to quote the Lord's Prayer, here it is in John chapter number 17. But look how it starts out. It starts out, these words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven, and he said, listen, he says, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him, and this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. I have glorified thee on earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. He said, I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word. In other words, he said, the whole point of this thing is, I want to glorify my Father. Amen? He said, it's up to me. It's given to me. I am commanded. I am told to give my life. And as I said over in the book of Hebrews, he said, I delight to do thy will, O God. Boy, we've lost that today, haven't we? As servants of God, he said, I delight to do thy will. Greatest thing you can do is just obey what God tells you to do. When God's got something for you, be like Ananias here and say, Lord, behold, here I am. You remember what Isaiah said? Isaiah's standing there, Isaiah chapter number 6. Isaiah standing there, and he sees God's glory. He sees everything about the Lord in there in that throne room. And he said, you know, the smoke's rising and the temple's shaking and everything's going on. He said, and I heard a voice that said, who will go for us? And Isaiah said, Lord, here am I. Send me. I'm ready, God. Send me. Boy, aren't you glad God's still calling folks today? I believe God's still calling men to preach. I believe he's still calling sinners to be saved. I believe he's still calling folks to be servants in whatever capacity for the purposes of the Lord and his church. You know what we need to do? Behold, Lord, here I am. I'm here. I'm ready. I am. Somebody said the greatest thing with Ananias was not his ability, but it was his availability. Lord, I'm here. You think they could have been? Oh, they might have been guys that could prayed a prettier prayer. Might have been guys that looked more handsome, had more education, had more money, that could have went to Paul. But God said, I want you, Ananias. And he said, Lord, I'm your servant. I'm here and I'm going. And he arose and he went his way. Amen? Amen. Well, grab you a songbook tonight. Let's sing a verse of page 81, Just As I Am. And if God's got something for you while we're standing tonight, if you want to come and pray about something, well, we'll do that. But maybe you're there watching us on Facebook. God spoke to your heart about something, about your need in him. While we stand and sing this song tonight, Just As I Am, we'll sing a verse of that. If you need to come pray, listen.